Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. At the end of all things is a man on a white horse. Jesus is that man. When the last chapter about planet Earth is written, it will be about him. Today, the beginning of all things new, the end of the drama of redemption, and the onset of eternity. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a four-part series on the drama of redemption. Join us now for the grand finale. Turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11.
Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This now is Jesus. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and has the name which is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. That's us, folks, if we've trusted Jesus. From his mouth, yes, we can clap after I'm finished. Let's do that, okay? From his mouth comes a sharp sword, with it to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written. Let's hear it now for him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the judgment is described. Chapter 20 talks about a period of peace for 1,000 years. You know, where did theologians get this idea of the millennium? If you take your chart and turn it on the other side, you'll notice that it says the church age, tribulation 7 years, millennium 1,000 years. Where did they pull that out? Well, in the Old Testament, this period of peace was predicted. In the New Testament here, in chapter 20, 6 times you have a reference to 1,000 years. And by the way, have you been scared to be beheaded for the faith? You'll notice it says, those who die in the tribulation who are beheaded, it says, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is verse 4. Everything is 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is bound during the 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, what you have is the final judgment. And now it is time for you to simply catch your breath. I hadn't planned on quoting it, but I'll see how I do. I beheld a great white throne and him that sat on it, before whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to what was in the books. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Wow. All of the people who appear at this judgment are unbelievers. They have one thing in common. They are kings, they are paupers, they are rich, they are poor, they are from every nation and every religion, but they share one thing, and that is they don't have the righteousness that God requires to enter into heaven, because they didn't receive the gift of Jesus. I promise you that if God gives me health, and if I'm still around for a few months and maybe even years, who knows, I promise you, but I will preach an entire message on chapters 21 and 22. The beauty of heaven is overwhelming. John sees this new heaven and new earth come down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And he hears a great voice saying, behold, all things are new. And lots of things won't be there. No more crying or death. But the most beautiful thing about it is, it says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death nor pain, for the former things are passed away." All the way from the beginning in Leviticus and Exodus, God says, "I want to dwell with my people. I want to dwell with them." And God can't dwell with them like he'd like to because of sin. It is true that God dwells with us as his people, but his dwelling always has to be mediated because sin keeps getting in the way. Imagine a time, nothing but purity, nothing but holiness, and we dwell directly, unmediated with God. What does the book of Revelation teach us? What is the bottom line? Let me give you three very quickly. First of all, the great divide. It's the great divide. I read this book and I wish that, I read it and I say, where are all the people who aren't quite good enough to go to heaven, but they're not bad enough for hell either? Where are they? Nowhere. It's either hell or heaven. The book of Revelation is really the tale of two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem, or the tale of two women, if you wish, the prostitute and the bride of Christ. It's either one or the other. Either you have enough righteousness to enter into heaven or you don't. Last week I was speaking in Palm Springs and the man who took us to the airport said, "You know that Frank Sinatra is just buried in the cemetery just across from us." And I said, "Well, pick us up early on the way to the airport tomorrow and let's go see Frank's grave." What do you think was on Frank Sinatra's grave? I know you're thinking I did it my way, but that isn't what was on his grave. It was a different song entitled "The Best Is Yet to Come." Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come. It's about a romance. I don't want to judge Frank Sinatra. Let God be his judge. But look at what it says in the book of Revelation. Now we're in chapter 22. This is the last beatitude in the book, by the way, of the seven, verse 14 of chapter 22. "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter into the city by the gates." God is Frank Sinatra's judge. But if he did not wash his robes, that he would have the right to enter into the city by the gates, for him, the best was not to come. I see this great divide. That's the first thing. I have to ask you today, have you washed your robes? I mean, have you been cleansed by the blood of Christ? See, there is no other way. Don't tell me that you think another religion is as good. It can't be because it doesn't have a Savior. Teachers maybe, but no Savior able to cleanse you from sin, that you might be washed and enter into the city. It says, "Outside of the city are dogs," that is perverse people, "sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." And the way you get from verse 15 to 14 is you have your robes washed. Many people will be in heaven who were sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, and idolaters. They're going to be there in heaven. Why? Because of verse 14, they washed their robes by receiving Christ as Savior. Apart from that, I'm just reading the text. So first of all, the great divide. Second, the length of eternity. Time is short, eternity is long. You know that little phrase, forever and ever, occurs 13 times in the book of Revelation. It talks about hell, the smoke of their torment. I didn't read this in chapter 14 because it's too terrifying. But it says the smoke of their torment goes on forever and ever. And then regarding us, it says we will reign forever and ever. I don't have time to tell you how long eternity is. I guess it would take me an eternity. Really. Read it and weep. Finally, I marvel at the absolute, total, unquestioned triumph of Jesus. Look at this. Chapter 13, Antichrist is given power over people, that he can even have power over the saints and kill them, and all the world worships him. Now listen to this, chapter 15. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his number, and over his mark. And they stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?" Who comes out triumphant? Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. Things are not as they appear to be in chapter 13, because chapter 15 is coming. And then you think of the chaos in the world, and you think of the beauty of heaven. And I beheld a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne and from the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which gives its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there is no need of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign with him forever and ever. Wow. He that testifieth these things saith, "Behold, I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Well, my friend, that's the way the book of Revelation ends. And let me say that this also is the last in a series of messages I've preached entitled "The Drama of Redemption." In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours, either in CD form or DVD. Either way, we're going to send you a chart that will help you put the various books of the Bible in relationship. I hope that you are able to get these materials. And when you do, sit down with an open Bible and go with me through these various segments of Old Testament and New Testament history, concluding, of course, with the book of Revelation. I want you to be able to understand the Bible's storyline, to put the various pieces of history and the various books of the Bible in relationship. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you in advance for your prayers, for your gifts, for your commitment to the gospel. And I hope that you continue to listen right here for Running to Win each day. See you right here next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up "The Drama of Redemption," an overview of the wonder of the redemption God made possible through Christ. Next time, don't miss a series on pandemics, plagues, and natural disasters. "The Drama of Redemption" can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.